Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to guide us, to give us greater knowledge and understanding of this, your word, Father. And Father, I'm asking you to use us in great and mighty ways to reach more out here that are walking in weakness and in dark, Father, so that we can bear more fruit and bring more unto you, Father, for your glory. Now, Father, be with us. And if we have done anything this day that is displeasing to you, forgive us, Father, and let us know what it is so we do not do it again. And be with us through this communion. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're ready for communion, get your bread. All right. We know that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And may the Lord add his blessing now unto his word. We're going to be this evening in Ephesians chapter 1. And it's 23 verses long. So we may not. We'll see. As long as we get, though, what the Lord wants us to have. We see here, though, Paul starts out with this book, as he does with all of them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we see here in these first two verses where he is letting them know who he is, what he is, and how he became what he is. And in verse 3, he starts out with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed here means worthy of praise. When God blesses man, he confers benefits upon him. And when man blesses God, as Paul does here, he attributes praise to him who has blessed us, or because he has blessed us. And the apostles then praises God because he has bestowed all spiritual blessings on his people. And when did he do this? Probably in eternity past. Where are these blessings located? We know that these blessings are located in heavenly places, which is what he's talking about here in verse 3. That is in heaven, and as the Christian citizenship, the high priest, hope, and inheritance are all in heaven as his treasures and affection are to be in heaven. Pardon me. So also, the Christian's blessings are in heaven. And these spiritual blessings are granted to the believer and are retained in heaven for him, being progressively dispersed to him on earth in accord with his need. You know, these are really things to think about. In Christian growth in Christ, or by Christ, that is, the Father has conferred these blessings on the church, but he did not act alone. He has blessed us in Christ. This verse, therefore, makes 5 points. 1, what has God done? He has blessed us. 2, with what? With every spiritual blessing. 3, when in eternity past. 4, where are these blessings? And they're in heaven. 5, how did God do this? And he did it by Christ, Jesus, by sending him here to earth to make a way, and even an easier way, for you and I to receive him, accept him, and be on the road to making heaven our home. Now, 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, the connecting thought links verse 3 and 4 in this. Just as, according as, God has blessed believers with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So in like manner, it was in and by him that he has chosen us. God never intended to bless man apart from Christ. All God does for man, he does through his Son, beginning here and continuing through verse 14 even. And Paul begins to elaborate on the very general God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, he will specifically identify 9 of these spiritual blessings. God has 1 chosen believers, 2, he adopted them into his family, 3, bestowed his grace on them, 4, redeemed them, 5, given them wisdom and insight into his future plan. And believers, 6, will share in universal reconciliation, and 7, have been made God's treasure. 8, have been granted the Holy Spirit. And 9, they are assured of salvation. He has chosen us in selecting believers for salvation. God has graciously shaped our lives and destined in accord with his will and to their advantage. And before him means in his sight. Christians should be, in God's opinion, holy and without blame. That is a lot to be given to us, isn't it? But his word is telling us that is what he's done. So you see, this is why you and I need to spend our time each and every day with him in prayer and with him in the study of his word, so that we can be more in his will than in our own. Because, see, our own will can get us into trouble and even pull us away from him. So we need to always be walking and thinking about God's will for us as we go through our day. Now, 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, as we talk about here, you know, the last 2 words of verse 4, in love, may well belong to verse 5. The link between verb forms in these 2 verses is expressed in this rendering. He chooses us in that he lovingly predestinated us. So the divine choice of verse 4 is further defined by the divine predestination of verse 5. Predestinated means marked out in advance, determined or appointed beforehand. Prior to creation, God appointed those who would believe unto or for the adoption of the children. That is, he appointed them to be his sons. This divine appointment was according to and because of the good pleasure of his will. It will do not to anything good in ourselves, but do solely to his kindness. These verses stress the divine sovereignty in salvation. He goes on to tell us about verse 12 and 13, which mentions our trust and belief in Christ, emphasizes the human responsibility in the process. Now 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And you and I are to always be giving him praise and thanks for the things he does and has done for us each and every day that we have lived, and everything he has done to make our lives better here on earth, as well as making a way for you and I to be able to reach heaven for our eternal home. Now, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we do know that when we go to him and repent as being sinners, that he forgives us of our sins, and they are covered by his blood. And we have been washed clean. Then there are other things for you not to do yet, such as being baptized in water, which is putting him on. Putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection in our lives. And we are to live that way, because we are new creatures and our lives has changed. You see, because unless our lives has changed, we've not been sincere in what we've done. And then we need to go back. If we really want to make heaven our home, we need to go back and do all of our first works over again. The Bible tells us this. We'll be getting into that later on. Now, 8. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You see, there are just a lot of things going on here. And we're just in chapter 1. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Ten, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. This dispensation of the fullness of times refers to the future millennial kingdom, when David's son will rule. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom for that 1,000 years as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that age, Christ will take control of the kingdom and put an end to all anarchy and misrule. Men will be rewarded and given rest. Now, you see, the curse on the creation will be lifted, and all Israel will be saved. You know, I've told you there was a time coming where all of Israel will be saved. They will all accept him, and all will be saved. Her blindness will be cured, and she will be restored to the land. The times of the Gentiles will cease. You see, this church age will cease. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be Gentiles there, because they will be. All that is made the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and has walked and kept the word of God to make heaven their home, they'll all be there with him too. It won't be just the Jews. The governing covenant of this age is unique in that considerable time elapses between its revelation and accomplishments. And the divinic covenant offers God's fourfold promise. One, to establish David's throne, to guarantee authority to rule over his people, to establish his kingdom, and to recognize David's reign in perpetuity and the future of humanity in the final dispensation is shown by the final revolt, causing the rebels to be judged in the lake of fire. You see, there's a lot for you and I to think about. A whole lot for us to think about. Now, in 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, we know as his children we have obtained an inheritance also with his family and with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the believers are God's treasures. Why would Paul regard this as a blessing? As God's treasures, Christians are the apple of his eye and the special object of his love. He is then determined to care and provide for his people who are his heritage. Think about this. Now, 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And we know that we should glorify God who first trusted in Christ actually refers to Jewish believers. But we are also included in those beliefs, because we are part of the family of Almighty God. Now, those that first trusted in Christ were Jews, yes. And that is where we get all of our teaching and all from. Comes from them. 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we know that. And you know, we're sealed with that Spirit of promise, and by whom also, when you believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Christian receives the Spirit not after, but when he believes in Christ as Savior. The sealer is Jesus. The seal is the Holy Spirit. In biblical times, the seal denoted both identification of ownership and protection provided by the owner. Now, that's what the seal means. And we know that when we are born again, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But not until we are born again. Now, 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, you see, part of our inheritance also means who is the guarantee of our salvation. The Holy Spirit is here called the earnest of our inheritance. And the word earnest means down payment. As such, the gift of the Spirit is viewed as an installment or as part of our salvation. God therefore assures the Christian that the realization of the rest of his salvation is forthcoming. How long is the believer assured of his salvation? Until the redemption of the purchased possession may be read. Until God glorifies and perfects the believer. You know, the purchased possession whom he has bought by Christ's blood. You see, it was that crucifixion and the shedding of the Lord's blood that paid the price for you and thou to have salvation and to be able to go before the Lord personally. We don't have to go through preacher or no one, because you see, we go through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is him that gave us the way. Now, 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, all letting them know that they are always in his prayers. We know that Paul loves all the children of Almighty God, Jew and Gentile, and regardless of what nation or what color your skin is, if you are a brother in Christ, the family of Christ, or sister, we have Paul's love also, and we're in his prayers, even back then. Now, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, you see, this is why we have the Holy Spirit, is that he can give us the revelation in the knowledge of the Father God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of himself. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, this inheritance in the saints, that is the illuminated Christian, recognizes more and more both the priceless value of his salvation and what a priceless treasure he is to God and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, perceiving how God's power has changed him or us since conversion. He experiences to a great extent this divine strength in daily living. You see, we are to live daily for God and to be ready to do whatever he calls upon us to do. And most of his guidance will come through his word. This is why we need it so greatly. Because as we study his word, he's letting you and I know exactly how to walk in this life. And then there will also be a time that he will speak and probably speak through his word in letting you know what it is he wants of you and the work that he wants of you. Whether it would be a pastor, teacher, or just as an apostle talking to others that you meet and doing it in honesty and doing it by letting them see what living the word is all about and what it will bring and how they can have it. And they look at you and see that you also, God loves you, but you also love him. Now, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we know he brought him out of that tomb. He let him spend 40 more days here on this earth preparing the disciples for their work, the work they had to do, which was to bring in this church age and of establishing the first churches, letting us know what the church actually should be, what it should be teaching, and how it should be working and functioning as a place of God's people meeting to worship him. 21. far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, that name Jesus is the name he's talking about here. It is above every name. And it will be even in the time which is to come. 22. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's putting in charge of everything. Everything has been put under. And he's the head of the church. That's why we need to take these walls down and all come together in his church. Not ours, but his. In this word. In truth. Not what man wants to make out of it, but exactly what God wants it to be. And Jesus is the head. And he is the ruler over the universe and will be even greater. Now, the last verse, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know this verse, for the church is his body. It is the fullness belonging to him who fills the universe with all things. That is Jesus. Who so wisely and skillfully fills the universe with all material elements necessary for its existence. Also wisely and skillfully infuses his people, the church, with his own life and character. This verse then explains why in 1:22, God made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is in such an ultimate relationship with him and is of such character that she is considered his own body. So it is for her good that Christ is the divinely appointed ruler of the universe, since he filled the church with his own life and character. She is a receptacle containing the grace and virtue of God himself. Think about this as I leave you here with the end of chapter 1 now of Ephesians. We have covered a lot of things. And a lot of things that we all need to be thinking about. And looking at ourselves to see how we are standing within this chapter of the Word of Almighty God. And what we are missing or lacking so that we can obtain it and bring it into our lives with what we do have to make us stronger and better equipped as the children of God to do his work think about these things. And I pray that you have gotten a whole lot out of this message tonight, because there's been a whole lot in it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Israel and this land in which we live, and all of the world, especially those, Father, that are yours, the saints, wherever they are. And we know that they are scattered throughout the universe, teaching your word. Some are facing punishment and death each and every day of their lives in order to get this word out. Help us, Father, to stand fast in where you put us. Stand boldly in what we teach, not omitting anything or walking around anyone, but being bold and speaking the truth of your word. Now, Father, keep us all through this night. Kitty Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, and Jacob, Bobby, and Millie, my wife, Father, Courtney, and Shane, Sue, Debbie, Aaron, Chris, Sam, and that little family, and myself, Father, Alex Stone, our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents, and cousins. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit can work with us as we talk with them. Father, that they will realize that they need to be walking in the Lord Jesus Christ, and will go to him, Father, and change their lives. And those that do believe, Father, make them stronger. Use them more, Father. Now, Father, as we close through the night, I'm asking that you keep us all in health, keep us safe through this night, bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back into your room. Father, this is my prayer this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a good evening and a great night.